Day 443 Monday, June 17, 2 Kings 15, 6, 7 and 25, 28, 2 Chronicles 26 hours, and 22 minutes 23 and Isaiah 6, 2 Kings 15, 6, 7 and KJV. Now the rest of the Acts of Azariah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Azariah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. Then Jotham his son reigned in his place. 2 Kings 15 25 28 NKJV. Then Pekah the son of Remaliah, an officer of his, conspired against him and killed him in Samaria, in the citadel of the king's house, along with Argob and Ari, and with him were 50 men of Gilead. He killed him and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah, and all that he did, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah king of Judah, Pekah the son of Remaliah became king over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 20 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. 2 Chronicles 26 hours, and 22 minutes 23 NKJV. Now the rest of the acts of Isaiah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz wrote. So Isaiah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. Then Jotham his son reigned in his place. Isaiah 6, 1-13 NKJV. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand, keep on seeing, but do not perceive, make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, but yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. Daily deep dive, the UCG reading plan states, here we read the story of Isaiah's calling in the year Uzziah died, as with Ezekiel some years later, see Ezekiel 1, 10, Isaiah sees a vision of God on a throne, attended by spirit beings, at the heavenly temple. These angelic spirits, identified as seraphim, could be a different class or type of angel from the cherubim in Ezekiel. The seraphim are not described extensively, except that they have six wings instead of Ezekiel's four. However, these beings may not be so different after all. The word seraph has been left untranslated here. It literally means burning one. Yet it is rendered elsewhere in scriptures as fiery serpent, indeed with another word later in the book of Isaiah as fiery flying serpent, Isaiah 14 29, Isaiah 30, 6, compare Numbers 21, 6, Numbers 21, 8, Deuteronomy 8 15, notice Numbers 21, 6 in the Tanakh, the newer Jewish publication, Society Translation of the Holy Scriptures, the Lord sent seraph serpents against the people. It is commonly thought that fiery, i.e., burning serpents connotes the sting of their bites, yet it may actually refer to the reflective quality of their glassy scales. by which they are shiny. Interestingly, the Hebrew word for serpent, nachash, literally means shining one. Dot. Indeed, a literal translation of Numbers 21:6 would be, "And sent Yahweh among the people the shining ones, the burning ones, and they bit the people." Dot. And notice verse 8 in the Tanakh. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph figure and mount it on a standard," and Moses made a bronze nachash or serpent. Verse 9. In fact, the word for bronze is another form of nachash, apparently because of its shiny quality. In any case, it appears that seraph and nachash are interchangeable terms. See also E. W. Bulinger, The Companion Bible, Appendix 19. What then of the seraphim Isaiah sees? According to Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words, it may imply either a serpentine form, albeit with wings, human hands, and voices, or beings that have a glowing quality about them. 1985, Old Testament, section, to burn. Of course, every angel, it should be noted, is a shining being of light. Compare Revelation 10, 1, described as a flame of fire, Hebrews 1. 7. All of this is rather interesting when we consider that Satan is referred to in Scripture as a serpent and even a fiery red dragon, Revelation 12, 4, Revelation 12, 9. This seems too much like fiery flying serpent, i.e., seraph, to be mere coincidence. And yet Satan is distinctly referred to in Ezekiel 28 hours and 14 minutes 16 as a cherub. Perhaps, then, a cherub and a seraph are the same thing. Granted, there do appear to be a few minor differences between the creatures Isaiah and Ezekiel saw, and later the Apostle John. Compare Revelation 4:6-8. In that case, perhaps cherubim are a class of seraphim, yet different from the class Isaiah saw. However, it could be that Ezekiel's cherubim were actually the same creatures Isaiah saw, but viewed in a different activity so that Ezekiel did not see the extra pair of wings Isaiah and John did. Or perhaps these creatures are capable of shape-shifting even in the spirit realm, sometimes having six wings and sometimes four, sometimes having four faces and sometimes one. Though we may not be able to ascertain a reason for this, we should not suppose it out of the question, since righteous angels are even able to appear to us as human beings, which is not their natural form. In any case, the main focus of Isaiah's vision was not the seraphim. It was the one they praised, the King, the Eternal God of Hosts. Hearing such wonderful praise for God, Isaiah knew painfully well that he was the only one there who did not, and had not his whole life, uttered such praise. He knew that he was a sinner whose life had not honored God. His speech had no doubt been wrong and impure on many an occasion, but with a coal from the altar, Isaiah was symbolically cleansed, illustrating that God forgave his sins. This should remind us that all sin is forgiven only through sacrifice, indeed, through one sacrifice, for the sacrifices on the temple altar pointed to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, only with a censer of burning coals from the altar could Israel's high priest enter the most holy place on the Day of Atonement, using it to burn holy incense, producing a cloud of sweet, smelling smoke representing the prayers of God's people. Leviticus 16:12-13, compare Revelation 5:8. Thus, God seems to have granted Isaiah a personal atonement or reconciliation with him, in which the prophet appeared, through vision and prayer of cleansed lips, in God's very throne room. And like Isaiah, we too can, through repentance and prayer, come boldly before the throne of grace by the same sacrifice. Hebrews 4:16, Hebrews 9:6-14. Isaiah is then permitted to participate in the heavenly court. God is looking for a volunteer to carry his message to Judah, and Isaiah is willing after God cleanses him. But in a warning cited several times in the New Testament, Isaiah 6:9-10, compare Matthew 13 verses 14 to 15, John 12 verses 37 to 41, Acts 28 hours and 24 minutes 29. It is to be a message God knows they will not heed. Indeed, He pronounces utter devastation and national captivity, Isaiah 6:11-12. Yet, while ancient Israel and Judah were invaded and the people taken captive, their cities were not, for the most part, utterly devastated. save for Jerusalem eventually and a few other major settlements, and the people still today have not truly heeded Isaiah's words, indicating that this prophecy is primarily a reference to coming end-time devastation. Compare Ezekiel 6:6. Isaiah 6:13 is translated awkwardly in the New King James Version. It is easier to follow in the Living Bible's paraphrase. Yet a tenth, a remnant, will survive, following the captivity of the previous verse. And though Israel is invaded again and again and destroyed, yet Israel will be like a tree cut down, whose stump still lives to grow again. This parallels Amos 5:3, which is addressed to the house of Israel. While two-thirds of the modern descendants of Israel and Judah apparently will die initially from war and famine in the end time, another third will evidently be taken into captivity. Compare Ezekiel 5:12, which we will examine in more detail when we come to it in our reading. And of that last third, these verses seem to say that only a tenth will remain to flourish anew and multiply under the rule of Jesus Christ. Monarchies in transition, as mentioned above. Isaiah was called the same year that Uzziah, or Azariah, of Judah died, ca. 740 BC. Uzziah's son Jotham then became chief ruler, his son Ahaz apparently assisting him as coadjutor, although Jotham had already been functioning as king for 12 years while his father Uzziah remained in seclusion with his leprosy. Furthermore, this was the same year that Pekahiah of Israel was replaced, in yet another northern kingdom coup, by Pekah. This usurper reigned over Israel from around 740 BC until his death around 732 BC, but since a reign of 20 years is attributed to him, 2 Kings 15:27, it is evident that he must have reigned as king for 12 years prior in his own district during the unsettled days of Shalom, Menachem, and Pekahiah, 752-740 BC. Nelson Study Bible, note on 2 Kings 15:27. Pekah will cause some grief to Judah, as we will soon see, but more importantly, it is his reign that will witness the beginning of the end for Israel. End.